Okay. To share the concept of intermitzvah, specifically as it applies to the mitzvah of the Dalet Minim. Last time we began by analyzing the pasuk Divrei Demaskar Ilu Yeshua Zakirin and Elokei Aviv Ramatu. We pointed out that there are a number of ways to translate Gan Veru. You can claim it comes from a root meaning to adorn. Which we suggest that the Choshur does, is he connects it to the Imran and says it means to adorn the song, or you can just say, as Rabbi Akiva does, Shabbat Kibbalah Gelam Beit, it just means to praise God. I think Tavavi makes it means to praise God specifically publicly in front of others who might not be inclined to praise him. You can translate it from the word Naveh, meaning place, and that's where he doesn't close out, Milay Mikdash, I will build him the temple, sanctuary. The deciding on says it means I will yearn towards him, and Abishal Shabakam Gila says it means I will be similar. I will be similar to him, I will be gracious and merciful, he is gracious and merciful. And I suggested that both of these come from a root meaning that according to the Arabic root, which eventually comes to mean pasture, really means goal. And so I will make him my goal. And finally, Shalom Brotham Shabbos Kippur Megillah says it means in the El Chanat and its foot, make a beautiful sukkah before him, a beautiful wool before him, a beautiful shofar before him. In my Torah this week, I talked about the grammatical peculiarity of Hidna El Chanat and how we get Zan Zehu to Hidna El Chanat to the Chanat. But let's take it now just a given that it means to beautify, at least objects of commandments, such as shofar and sukkah, and then it seems to have a specific many specific applications within Sefer Torah, where we say that we require the ink to be nice, and the pen to be nice, and the filter to be skilled, and even the wrapping to be beautiful. Okay, so working within that notion, that it creates a chiyuv of what we call Hidur Mitzvah. So if we take a look at the Gemara of Sefer Lama Gilam, the source number 3, so the Gemara asks who in a pre-existing Masorah, which is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, about whether a lulav requires, meaning the lulav, Hadas and Arava, have to be bound together or not. So which of those positions could be the author of a Braita that says that you should bind them together, but if you don't bind it together, it is nonetheless kasher? Because it sounds like that machloket is a machloket in which one side or the other says that it requires the eged even to the other, and the other side says it doesn't require the eged to bind at all. So your answer is that it's Rabbanan, and they don't require the eged because of some technical requirement that they do all together. They require the binding only because of Zekir Yonzei, because this is an issue of Hidur Mitzvah. And Hidur Mitzvah, stemming from the Andei, is only a Lechatchila requirement. Okay, the problem is that, and this is source number 4 and 5, put this last time in bed, the Mishnah says that a Lul HaYavish, a dried out Lulav, is puzzle, which we assume is puzzle even the Diavid. And Rashi explains the reason it's puzzle is because we require a Mitzvah Buderet, it's Sid Andeyu. So Rashi clearly learns that Andeyu can be puzzle even the Diavid, even though the Gemara on the Gimel Malach says that Danveyu specifically is tied by the Daladin, it was all the Chaskila. This question is posed by Tefus, and there are many answers. I just want to point out one line of reasoning, which is that if you take, Tefus therefore learns that the reason all of the others is possible is not because of the Pasuk of Danveyu, but rather because of the Pasuk internal to the Daladin, and namely creates Hadar, which creates a special chiyuv Hidur Mitzvah by Etrog. We derive it, as it says, by Hekesh from Etrog Lulav, and therefore we derive a psul even to the others by Lulav and Etrog, and so we for justice it turns out that there are two sources for chiyuv Hidur Mitzvah, the Andeyu and Priyat Hadar, and certainly the Andeyu is only a psul lechatchila, where Hadar can be a psul in the Diavid. However, we should point out in defense of Rashi that on Gittin Chasam Aleph, the Gemara records a psul. I recorded that a machloket as to what happens if a sefer Torah had one of the askaros, one of the Shemot Hashem, written not lishma, which certainly invalidates it. Can you simply take a pen and write over the shem lishma and make it kosher? Yehuda says that that's kosher, but the Chacham say ein hashem in the muzchar, and those people learn. In this Gemara in Gittin, the Yehuda says you can't in fact overwrite the name, but the Chacham says you can't because ein hashem in the muzchar. Now the Gemara explains that ein hashem in the muzchar is based on the position, possibly based on the position that it's a flaw in Zekeli and Zekeli. Because because it looks, the Sefer Torah appears to be Mar if you're spotted, because some areas are darker than others. So this, if you say the Inashim and Mukhar is a soul using the David, which seems to be the standard position, then Rashi has an example in which Zanzehu is possible to David, and the question we have to ask, though, is why Zanzehu is possible to David in some cases and Chaskil in others. So you can, without Rashi, you can just say, no, we're just trying to explain the difference between the Sefer Torah and the binding of the law, and the answer can be that the pasuk applies specifically to the Sefer Torah. This suggests that we both come closer. Because it's just to leave on there, specifically to the Askarot of the Sefer Torah. So therefore, that's the agenda to everything else, which is a less direct foundation for Hashem, right, for the Kel, is only the Haskila. But that doesn't work for Rashi, because Rashi, we have to claim, has a soul to be evident, has one soul to be evident and one soul of Haskila just within the Dal Minim. Because he says, the other should puzzle. Because of the ambigu, the Ravan hold only required to have a negative chatzila. So you have to come up with a series of other distinctions. You can try and claim that Yavish is something is less than it once was, where the Eged is that it's lacking something more than it once was, and that's the line from the Yavish chatzila is. Or you can claim that Yavish is actually within the object, whereas Eged is external to the object, or you can claim, as the Kabbalah Soren does, is that it's fundamentally, an issue, an arbitrary issue. The Soren HaKatub HaChamim, the Torah gives over sages to decide what's what, and maybe it just depends on how much, how significant they think this either or lack of either is. Those are the ways of enabling one to explain, according to Rashi, how Yavish can be possible to be Yavish, and the absence of an Ege can only be a tool of Hakila. As I say, one can just take up this approach and claim that there are two different sources. Zanzeyu is always with Hakila, and Hadar is always to be Yavish, and then Tosfos would have to read, in order for Tosfos not to resort to the Chilukim we mentioned earlier, Tosfos would have to claim that in Yitin also, in Hashem and the Muskar is only a tool. Or does this hymn make the distinction between the Sefer Torah and the law? Okay. But we have another issue in Rashi, which is that on the Sefer Lamadel and Udbet, the Mishnah records in a Machloket of Yishmael and Rabbi Tarfon as to whether it is necessary to have at least one Hadad, which does not have its head cut off, which is not Yitam Rosha. Rabbi Yishmael holds you require at least one, Rabbi Tarfon says you don't even require one. That's one of Rishapin's position, and Rashi says, Rishapin Omer, Yilush Rosh Tant Kunin, to lo boy hadar hadas, because it does not require hadasim to be hadar. Now, if we hold like Tosfos, that the only soul that he ever does Dalad Minim of Hidur Mitzvah is from the Pasuk of Hadar, so we can claim that the Hekesh is only, according to Rishapin, is only between Heshrog and the Luch. Prayas Hadar because it's Marim, it doesn't go as far as an Apeit Avot. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel holds it does go the way, and that's why he requires at least one Hadar not to be Kachim. So he holds like Rashi that the soul, Bidiyad of Adal Minim, comes from Zanzehu, so then how can he not require Hadar by Adasim? Zanzehu is a requirement in all mitzvot. I think it's very dopey to claim he doesn't require, every time he doesn't require a dara to be edited by his ass. Why? Again, it's all from the same pasuk of the Amdegim. Now, what can be either a helper or a gashan Rashi is verse number 9, which is the division of Ramban. Ramban says that the reason Rabbi Tarfon allows it is not because he doesn't require Hadar, but because he thinks Hadassah would have had to call our Hadar, because Hadassah is defined as a Hadassah Hidar comes from its stem, he claims, how many of I don't know. And but regardless, he says that there is no lack of beauty by Hadassah's top cut off, because the Hadassah is defined as a species whose leaf covers branches. You can't tell whether it's cut off or not. Now, that I think is easier for us to see this with a kasha on Rashi. Rashi says that we don't require Hadassah to be Hadar. So A, we said, how can you not require Hadassah to be Hadar? B, how could Rashi have thought that the issue was Hadar by Hadassah to them? Because Rashi's implication is that Yishmael banned it because it's not Hadar, but it should be Hadar. There's no issue at all. Okay. So the answer that I want to suggest is the following. Rashi must believe that, and the clue to this is in Rashi's language, let's be careful of it. Rashi says a little hayavish is tukul. Why? Because a little hayavish is because in a mitzvah mehudat, we require the mitzvah to be beautiful, b'chid ben leia. But when he says that a tarfon is makshir, he says it because it's the little boy hadar hadas. It doesn't require Hadar regarding Hadas. So the question is, can we draw a distinction between requiring a mitzvah to be and requiring the object to be Hadar? What I want to suggest is that Rashi thinks that there is a chiyuv of beautifying the object of the dalad minim, and the chiyuv, that chiyuv is, and I would say it's not even a chiyuv of beautifying, it's not an aesthetic, it's a requirement of having the best kind of object. The term I used was he drew it through a structural chiyuv. That chiyuv, which is unique to the Dal meaning, comes from the pasuk of Priyei Sadar. Then there's a general chiyuv for all mitzvot that affects the object of mitzvot, but is not fundamentally a din in the chesta. It's a din in the masa. The mitzvot should be done in the most beautiful possible setting. That's an aesthetic requirement. So Rashi says that a dried algalov, so a lulav itself is the same lulav of others, just looks awful. So that's the psul of the amdehu. Similarly, but whereas he thinks that a lulav has his head cut off, that's the problem of hadar, because it's an incomplete, right? It's an incomplete hadar. It's not the best kind of hadar. The Ritarfo understands, of course, that there's no problem of Zekir's Anveyu by Hadas Kotum, as is Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Ishmael would say that it's still not Hadar, even though it satisfies the Anveyu, it's not Hadar. The Ritarfo says, but you know what, I don't require Hadar by Hadas. Right? So the key is that for Rashi, Zekir's Anveyu is an aesthetic requirement, whereas Priyas Hadar is a structural requirement, Yavish is an aesthetic problem, and Nikam Rosho is a structural requirement. If you take a look briefly at verse 12, where again Rashi says, Nikam Rosho, a little bit that cut off is possible to lo havi hadar because it's not hadar. It doesn't say because it's not a mitzvah mitzvah. And the same thing on the lo havi hadar. That's my fundamental assertion, and Rashi will have to claim that the binding of a lulav, which comes in Zekir Aleihu, is not because, right, each of the objects themselves are perfectly fine, but they don't, right, have to claim it's an aesthetic problem that looks all scattered if you don't actually have a binding. Using this distinction, it's possible that we can explain two other positions of Rashi that may seem strange at first. The first is from a Gemara on Sukkah, Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis. This is verse number 10. The Mishnah says, the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir as to whether the law of binding has to utilize the only materials from the Dalavinus, the four species, or not. Rabbi Yehuda says yes, only the four species, and Meir says no, you can use any material whatsoever. Rabbi Meir says, well, I have proof that you can use anything else, because look, in your time, they used to use gold rings to bind the law, and the response to him is, yeah, but they had little bindings to palm bindings also. Okay, on that, the Gemara Rava says, when we say palm, we mean any palm material. Palm dasha, the kind of palm, the branches, such leaves that we use for lulav. But then Rava says, what's Rabbi Yehuda's Torah? Why is Rabbi Yehuda require only of the formium? Not a technical requirement that the binding has to be from the formium, but an incidental requirement that you're only allowed to take four minim, and if you use a gold, say, then you're going to violate baltosis, the commandment against adding on to hypsil shomitza, because you're going to have five species and not four. We'll leave aside now why he defines the requirements by the number as opposed to by the material. So that's what he says. What's the Yehuda's rationale in saying you can only use the dalavinim? Because some of the rule of Tereseged, he holds the rule of required Zeged, so you might say, if you bring a fifth, then you would have 5 minutes. So the question that brings up, of course, is, so if you don't require Zeged, if in fact you have another mean found in, why isn't that false Zeged? In other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even once we say we fulfill the requirement of binding with a palm thing, they have the meal here, go to the Mata, why doesn't the gold still, right, the fact that the gold is all the rules create a problem with baltosis if you're still taking 5 minim? The Rashi says, the Nino is going to fall not to the shame that the egg is the but the gold binding, it's only the noise of Alma, it's only for duty. Meaning it only fulfills the mitzvah of Zekele Vyandehu. Now, if Zekele Vyandehu is a fear in the chiyuv to beautify the mitzvah, it seems plausible that it would become part of the chesed shel mitzvah and have a baltosis problem anyway. In other words, if beauty, if Rashi says the Illinois of Alam is to fulfill the chiyuv of pre-eight hadar, that would mean the pasuk pre-eight hadar is part of the dalavinim, so anything that satisfies hadar should be part of the chesed shel mitzvah, is part of the object, and therefore should create a baltosis problem. But one can understand that Rashi believes that the Anveyu is a din that requires you to beautify the act of the mitzvah, right? But not directly the object of the mitzvah. But you can claim that the most radical way of saying it is that really when you take the lulav in your hand, even if there's gold there, we really have the fact of mitzvah of the rule is only the 4 minim plus the binding, and the gold, which is not there to fulfill the mitzvah of the binding, is there to fulfill a separate mitzvah of the anveil, and therefore doesn't create a baltosis problem. Now, according to Tessa, who thinks that even beauty, even noi, is a fulfillment of Kriyat Hadar, this becomes more difficult for the way for sure ways of responding to. What he says so far is that Kriyat Rashi, the Anveyu, is a chiyuv, is an aesthetic as opposed to a structural chiyuv, and it's an aesthetic chiyuv that relates to the mitzvah and its totality, which we'll call the masa and its, and not to the chesed, and not directly to the object, and therefore, things that are there exclusively to fulfill the chiyuv of the anveyu, as opposed to create a hadar, do not create a problem about this. But the Gemara, now we're going to talk about in the first 13 and 14, what you might call the inverse of the baltosis case. On Sukkot Zayin Aleph, the Gemara records the Braita that again gives you the machlokes of Meir and Rabbi Yehuda to what you need to bind it with a dalavinim. And it tells us the story that Rabba told the people to prepare the Hashanah, which is the lulav packet for the house of the Egzor, the Rish Galusa. When you prepare the lulav packet for the house of the Rish Galusa, Shari Beit Yad, leave a space to hold it directly by hand and not on the binding. So that the binding, the Egzor, won't be a chatita, a barrier, between my hand and the object, because he thinks that it says ukastem ukam b'yom rishon, taking means that your hand has to be directly on the object. To which Rava said, no, kolon oso eno chose, since the eged is there for beauty, therefore anything which is for beauty is not a chatita. And Rashi explains, why does Rava require them to leave a hand's breadth? Because he holds the eged is not part of the mitzvah. Kirabanan damri ein tzarech eged. So Rava holds by Kirabanan is that we don't require an eged. Now the question is, what does Rava hold? We could say that Rava just holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, that the eged is a requirement, but it's not his language. His language is kolon ofe in the chosek. Sounds like the way Rashi understands this, everyone agrees in this machlokas with the Rabbanan that we don't require the wolf to be bound. The focus is whether something that serves the purpose of noi is a chatzitza or not. Now we learned earlier in source number 2 that the position of the Rabbanan, the whole that Ulu doesn't require an eged, means that if you have an eged, it fulfills the mitzvah that you don't need. So the question we're then asking is whether something that fulfills the mitzvah zekir v'andehu regarding the aluminium serves as a chatzitza. Now, why should it serve as a chatzitza? It should serve as a chatzitza if it is not part of the original chatzitza shel mitzvah, but serves another purpose. In other words, if you learn, and we learn for Rashi previously, in order to solve the Baltosis problem, that things that are there for v'andehu are not a Baltosis problem because they're part of the mitzvah of Danzehu. So they're not part of the Chetzah mitzvah. So it should also follow that they are a Chetzah because they're not part of the Chetzah mitzvah. So the question then, right, so right, if you're not part of the mitzvah of the Chetzah for Baltosis, how can you be part of the Chetzah in terms of Chetzah? So they understand Rava's position that they're a Chetzah, but according to Rava, how does he say kolon elsein achotzes? If Rashi's right, things that are familiar are part of the seven mitzvot of the Andeyu, so they should in fact serve as a chatzitza. Okay, so what we have to say, according to Rashi, is that somehow there's a way that something can be part of the chatzitza for the purpose of chatzitza, meaning it doesn't serve as a chatzitza, and yet not part of the mitzvah for the purpose of baltosis. So the suggestion that I want to make, it's only one of many possible ways out, is that Rashi takes the position that, according to Rava, that objects that fulfill one mitzvah, or at least a related mitzvah, cannot be a chatzitza. The evidence perhaps for this is if you take the lulav, the hadas and the rabba separate mitzvahs, so nobody's worried, or rabba is worried that you have to make sure that each of them touch your hand independently. One more that you're only holding, the lulav and the others are being, and maybe the rabbas are inside the hadas and they never touch the hadas directly. But that is not a great solution. And it raises difficulties for Rashi. It may be that Rashi's full position is built on the position of Rava, and Rashi just thinks that he's explaining about entirely differently according to Rava, because Rava clearly holds, as opposed to the other position, that there is a din in the Chetzah shel mitzvah. Or you could also hold that there's some kind of special halacha. The Zekiel Ivanvehu defines itself as saying, since this is here for the Hidden Mitzvah, so it's part of the Mitzvah, so it's not a Chatzitza. In other words, we have here, they are two Chetzos of the same Mitzvah. Okay, but since they're two different Chetzos, and not the same, the two different Chetzos, they create a Baltosis problem. They're taking too much for this Mitzvah, so it's part of the same Mitzvah, But since the part of the Senate, so not a potato. But a bit of a potato, the air solution is welcome.